You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Oh, hello and welcome to the China Shop. Everybody get your asses inside. We got a fire sale today. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing good. I'm scheduling like a mofo.
Oh, yeah.
The interview requests have been really picking up this last month.
That's what I like to hear. We're getting popular with the people. They want to come hang out with us in the shop.
Something like that. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Right?
Oh, come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut losses, and they seem to all be directed into trading futures. Weirdly.
Yeah.
But don't worry, we're still trading on those stocks and options. And hey, if you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you might want to check out our knowledge center on financialineptitude.com or give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. This journey has taken us quite a long path, and where we're at today is not beginner level. So, learning all the jargon and the lingo and the basics, our beginning trading episodes are a good place to start. But you can also join us on our Discord server. Kyle and I are on there every day. It's really just an awesome place to be. We're sharing charts. We're sharing levels. We're sharing our trades.
Answering questions. If you got questions, that's a great place to ask.
Oh, yeah. Great place to ask the questions. And when you do join that server, make sure you send us a private message or an email with your mailing address so we can send you a smash-it-yourself mug or shot glass straight from the shop. We're just glad everybody's here. Glad you made it today. A lot of fun on this show today. A lot of fun coming up. And Kyle, you alluded to it earlier. We got some show news.
Got a lot of show news. All right, so we finished the VenturePoint interview last week. So that episode with Dr. Adams should be coming out. Next week, we've got Shahar Abrams. Then we've got Vico from TradePro coming back at the end of the month to talk about options with Dan.
Oh, yeah.
You've been making a lot of progress in that area. I'm really looking forward to listening to you guys. Discuss some of the things you've been learning.
I've been making 10 steps forward, 8 steps back. That's my method.
As long as you're still going forward, that's good. Coming up in October, we've got Matt Rayner, Anthony Fatsis. We're scheduling a new beginner episode with the local enthusiast. And then we're also working out the details to finally get the fund managers from ChangeBridge on the show.
Oh.
So hopefully that'll all be coming up in October. October is pretty much booked.
Very nice. I love to hear that. I love to hear that the ChangeBridge guys are going to finally be on the show. I'm still excited to talk to them.
He called me, I think it was Vince called me yesterday.
Oh, they called you yesterday and talked to you on the phone?
Yeah, because I sent him an email just asking, if they, I saw they were on the TD Ameritrade network, had a spot on there, so I was just checking to see if they got their compliance issues resolved. So yeah, they called us up, told us he's a huge fan still, definitely most entertaining stock market podcast out there, so love hearing that from especially industry professionals.
Yeah, big shout out of love to those guys. Glad you're listening, glad you've joined us here in the shop.
It's going to be fun talking to a fund manager for the first time, especially one that takes short positions too.
I'm really eager to talk to those guys.
Me too. Me too.
All right. Wow. So we just got a lot of stuff coming up. A lot of great guests. Stay tuned for that. I'm excited. But today we have an enthusiastic, energetic, egotistical show.
That tracks.
That tracks. All right. Well, then the rest of the show's a breeze. I got the three descriptions out. It was alliteration. Oh, big weight off my mind. We got lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar. And more options than analysts have revisions of price targets.
Nice. One of those potential guests, I think, is an analyst. No, wait, he's an advisor. Never mind.
Take that, analysts. Yeah, and folks, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You know, we love all your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook. On the Discord, we got a lot of great discussions happening in there. We love all of our Discord users so much. They're really making it such a great place to hang out. Couldn't be more grateful for them. Mm-hmm. So reach out to us. You can shoot us an email at the number twobulls@financialineptitude.com. That's twobulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe after reuniting with your family in New York, you've decided to go out west into a town full of cats.
I feel like you've already done that one.
No, I did the first one. That one's the sequel.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, don't try and trip me up. I'm as sharp as one of those pointy things.
A claw? All right, let's move on to some news. We've already spent about 15 minutes doing the...
Yep.
That's how you know the least informative part of the show.
Right? That's how you know it's going to be a good one.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the fools and the bears. Clowns running companies. Laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
Kyle, I can't believe you haven't heard this news. I would really like to lead off with this one. In the pre-show call, you were like, wait, what? I didn't hear about that. And that made me really excited.
Which one was this?
There have been two regional bank presidents of the Federal Reserve. There are 12 Federal Reserve regional banks. Two of them have been actively trading stocks in 2020.
Are they allowed to?
Well, they did follow the ethics guidelines set out by the Federal Reserve System.
Mm-hmm.
But the disclosure did prompt observers and at least one lawmaker to flag their behavior as possible conflicts of interest.
Well, were they like shorting the market before their meetings? Or what exactly were they trading, I guess, is what I need to know.
You want to know specifically what they were trading?
Yeah,
okay.
I would like to know.
Documents showed that Kaplan, for instance, bought and sold at least $18 million of individual stocks in 2020, mostly tech stocks like Apple, Amazon, and energy stocks like Marathon Petroleum.
Okay.
So I don't have the timing available, so I don't know when he was making the trades, but I definitely feel like the more we get into stock market stuff, the more we realize how powerful the Federal Reserve is in moving the markets.
That's true. Yeah.
So how is this? This to me is like the rich man version of Musk tweeting a Dogecoin meme symbol.
Yeah. And actually, that you mentioned with tech stocks, they have a lot more sway with those too, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these tech stocks are growth companies, so they require
liquidity of capital.
Yes. And if they are making decisions on whether or not that's going to continue or stop, and they're trading based on what they know, then yeah, that's a problem.
I guess the other guy, one was Kaplan, one was Rosengren.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Rosengren talks publicly about his concerns about potential overvaluation risks in commercial real estate, and he was trading in four different REITs at the time.
Interesting.
So it's like, while they followed the letter of the law in the ethics guidelines, but were they really being ethical?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably also wrote the rules, too, on what they can and can't do, or at least had a say in it.
Rosengren, right? These are the people who make the rules.
Yeah.
Rosengren said in a statement Thursday, "Regrettably, the appearance of such permissible personal investment decisions has generated some questions, so I've made the decision to divest these assets to underscore my commitment to Fed ethics guidelines." So the guy who's been screaming about overvaluation of real estate sold all his real estate REIT stocks to appear ethical.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Brilliant!
Wow.
I love it. I love it because it's like Jersey Shore of the finance world, right?
Kind of is. Speaking of that, too, I've got, I think we were looking at the market tanking on Thursday, trying to figure out what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Fed Reserve right there again. Looks like the Atlanta president, Raphael Bostic, he came out and made comments that he believes the Fed will still pull back on its asset buying campaign this year, though he doesn't expect a decision for this month's central bank meeting. So remember how everyone, when we saw the latest economic data that was coming out, saying, like, the jobs reports and all that, showing that the everything looked a lot weaker than was expected, and they thought maybe the tapering wouldn't happen this year?
Yeah.
Well, this guy, who is also one of the voting members for this year, thinks that they're still going to continue with that plan. So yeah, the market definitely wanted to react to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we are going to taper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look for tapering to happen this year, apparently.
Yeah, I'm convinced if it doesn't happen by the end of this month, next month, like, we'll have found the top of this current bull cycle. The inflation, we've been talking about it for a long time. I just don't see how we can't find the top this year.
I don't know about this. Yeah, I don't know. Things can continue on definitely, or much longer than you think. God, what was the saying from The Big Short? The market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like George said, everybody buys the dip until they don't. And if they're still buying the dip, it's still going to find a new high.
Yep. All right. What other stories you got?
Well, I've got two more, but I figure we only got time for one more of mine. Would you rather talk about the New York DoorDash Uber Eats Grubhub dust up or the Ben and Jerry's Arizona dust up?
I can go either way. They both sound interesting to me.
Okay, well, I will talk about the Arizona one because it's close to home, living in Arizona. So Ben and Jerry's announced this year they're going to stop selling its ice cream in Israeli occupied territories.
Do a lot of people in Israeli occupied territories eat Ben and Jerry's ice cream? That doesn't seem like...
It doesn't seem like their main market, does it? Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to stop selling our ice cream in Somalia.
Kyle, right now, I would like to say that I don't want to air this podcast in Myanmar, Burma. I really find that the conflict there, for me personally, I don't want our podcast to have anything to do with Myanmar, Burma.
I wish you didn't say that, because we actually had a lot of listeners from that area.
Oh, shit!
Surprisingly.
What?
I'm pretty sure I'm not being facetious there. Let me look up the countries here.
What? Who in Burma is listening to us?
Hold please while I select the right time frame here.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding.
How is that even possible?
What's the main city there? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe that's Bangladesh I'm thinking of.
Ah, yes, Americans and their amazing geography skills. Yeah, like...
I just saw it pop up. I don't, you know, my bad. They're right next to each other.
Right, but one is like a war-torn dictatorship oppressing their farmers, and one has manufacturing centers and financial centers. Okay, anyway, back to the news story.
Yes, please. That's one hell of a tangent.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Ben and Jerry's took a huge risk on all those sales in Israeli-occupied territories. Then, because of that, the Arizona legislature passed a law in 2019 barring the Arizona government agencies from holding investments or doing more than $100,000 in business with any firm that boycotts Israel or its territories. So, Arizona has... they've got a fund... They've got an investment income fund for the state where they hold some of the state money. And apparently part of that fund had Unilever bonds. Unilever owns Ben and Jerry's. So this week, Arizona sold off $93 million of Unilever bonds, and it's going to sell their remaining $50 million. It has invested in the global consumer products company.
I don't know. There's something that I don't like about, one, a government taking a political stance like that and making monetary decisions on it.
Yeah.
Because that feels like the government trying to influence, like, a company's political agenda. And then, two, I don't like a company having a political agenda really either, because then you're just alienating one side or another.
No, I understand that.
Neither of which are good for business. It's not good to have the government meddling in public companies' affairs, and it's not good for public companies to meddle in politics, really, I don't think.
I'll tell you what, I give public companies a bigger pass, because you look at companies like Boost Mobile, that their whole company setup is, hey, get our cell phone plan, because we invest in these green energy and social causes. Like, that is their brand, right?
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that if that's your brand, that's what you're appealing to, that's your marketing campaign, that's your audience, then yeah, that's fine.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't have a problem with, because Ben and Jerry's, if you don't know by now that the Ben and Jerry themselves are on the left side of the spectrum, like, I don't think...
Right.
It's become more and more their brand as they've gotten older, right?
Mm-hmm.
But from the get-go, they've always had a very hippie philosophy. So I don't think anybody... I don't think Ben and Jerry's is going to be losing... They've already lost their American customers that are going to walk away from them.
Right.
Like all they're looking to do is solidify their customer base that does agree with their values, right? I'm willing to give them a bigger pass.
Probably trying to build a... They're probably just trying to get a legacy is what it really sounds like.
Or they're just trying to feel good about themselves as people.
Right.
Like, okay. Yeah. But my big question is for the same reason I'll talk about, like I may believe in green energy personally, but I have no problem trading ExxonMobil stock. The stock's right. Already out there. I'm not buying it from ExxonMobil, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying that stock from somebody else. So how is this hurting Unilever if they sold their bonds? Somebody bought those bonds. Like, those bonds didn't, like, they didn't destroy the bonds. They didn't say, no, Unilever, now you don't get these bonds.
We're lighting them on fire.
Unilever already got the money for the bonds.
Yeah, and if you're cashing them out early, then you're actually saving the money.
Right? but I guess really it only becomes relevant, like, I mean, if everybody decided to sell their Unilever bonds at the same time, the price would plummet, and that might affect Unilever in terms of any new bonds they want to issue. But I just don't see, just like I don't see Ben and Jerry's losing a lot of sales from Israeli occupied territories, I don't see Unilever blinking about Arizona selling its bonds to make a fucking point.
Right.
I definitely feel like my tax dollars go into the Arizona state coffers, and if that, it doesn't feel like a responsible investment decision or trading decision.
Right.
To sell it because you're mad at one of the subsidiaries. Unilever's so huge. It's one of their, like, 200 companies they own.
Yeah, if you based your investment decisions on whether or not you agree with every action.
Mm-hmm.
That a company takes, you're probably not going to find many things to invest in.
Yeah. Well, so that's that story. It's not, like I said, I don't think, and ultimately, what's Arizona going to do? It's going to buy other bonds, right? It's just going to buy another company. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to actually hurt Arizona. I don't think it's going to hurt Ben and Jerry's.
They'll probably buy bonds in a company that's got a big footprint in China.
Right? but, you know, I think it's a good conversation to have, and it definitely makes you think, because folks, you know, you've got to make your investment decisions and strategies, those plans got to work for you.
And try to do it without emotion.
I certainly recommend, yes, not putting emotion in it.
careful with the word recommend, Dan, when you're entertainment.
Oh, shit. Okay, wait, let me restate that. Folks, I know for me, my trading decisions go a lot better when I take the emotion out of it.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
All right. I got two quick stories if
all right,
want to wrap
them
up with those.
Let's hear them.
First one was Neo. Neo had a massive $2 billion stock offering that was announced this week.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Where were they priced at? To $2 billion, seeks us to price the shares at the going market rate. So I guess they don't really have a price yet. So they could sell up to about 50 million shares, depending on the pricing.
Wait,
proceeds be used for general corporate purposes and strengthen its balance sheets.
So they're putting a market sell.
I don't think it's all 50 are going to be market sold like that. I don't think that works quite that way. anytime the stock starts to poke its head up, they'll probably smack it down with a big offering and do that several times. What's interesting to me about this thing, not so much the a growth company needing to raise money. What's more interesting is all the articles that I keep seeing popping up now talking about how Neo is poised to break out. It's a buy the dip setup. Everyone needs to buy it and buy it now.
Oh, okay.
And you probably get the same feed stuff that I do. I'm sure you've noticed this as well.
I haven't been paying attention to Neo, to be honest.
Well, let's just do a quick Google search and see what pops up. I'll just search, is Neo a buy? Neo poised for a strong September. Is the stock a buy? Is NIO's stock offering really bearish?
Is it really?
NIO versus Workov. Buy NIO stock now before it takes off later this year. Yeah.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah, I find that very interesting.
Right when they want to sell, a bunch of news articles come out about why you should buy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of Seeking Alpha, Market Watch, and I think even Motley Fool is probably on that train.
Wow.
Right.
Hey, China, where was our phone call? Am I not good enough to shill NIO? Come on.
I know, right? I would have. I got a price.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at the 5-year chart. It's on a great big uptrend. Bye, bye, bye.
All right. Last one I got is just a quick update on the Elon Musk and Bezos Twitter war that's been ongoing for the last, seems like a couple months.
Spill that tea.
Yeah. So Jeff Bezos decided to invest $1 million into a company that's it's a startup that's looking to reverse aging and prolong human life. And Musk's response to that was, if it doesn't work, he's going to sue death. Musk has really been trying to pick a fight with Bezos. So I think that is the poll question I want to ask this week.
Okay.
Who would win in a celebrity cage fight between the two? And I want play-by-plays in the comments.
That is a great Twitter poll. That is a great Twitter poll.
It's not sexy, but it's definitely got the violence that everyone loves.
Is it sexy if Richard Branson is the ring girl in the bikini with the sign?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we can leave that part out.
No. All right, that takes us about to the halfway point, Dan. Do we got some sponsors?
Do we? Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor, focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years of experience helping thousands of people get their homes, purchase them, refinance them, even doing reverse mortgages. If that's your thing, Sue will help. She's licensed.
If you're drowning in debt, let Sue reach in there and grab you by the dick and pull you out.
Oh, yeah. She's licensed to do that in 27 states. So reach out and see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904. Or you can send her an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com. That phone number, again, is 520-977-7904. And that email is spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. That phone number, 520-977-7904. Reach out and see what Sue will do for you.
One of these days, we are going to lose that sponsorship.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying real hard, Kyle. We're trying.
Kind of feels like that. All right. Two Bulls is also a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Translation? You can trade like the big institutions.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable, successful traders, and we talk to them all the time.
Yes.
And there's just no better place that we found to learn all you need to be a successful trader.
Yes.
We're almost successful ourselves.
Ha-ha!
You can find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. Great way to support the show and improve your knowledge and skills. George should be back from his hiatus this week, too. We're currently trying to work out a deal where we can get our listeners a discount.
Yes.
So once we get an update on that, we'll let everyone know.
They really are. It's just school for stock trading. Like it's the place to go. I've read so many books on it.
Mm-hmm.
But their courses were the first ones that were like, yeah, this is how the big money trades, and it all makes sense.
This is how you do it.
And it works.
Yeah, exactly.
it works. For sure.
Yes. All right. Should we get into some some stocks and options and trading, investing, or what are we going to do here?
Oh, gosh, I believe this is Kyle's cooking corner, and you're about to give us a recipe for poutine?
No, I got something else I want to talk about, though.
Crypto?
Crypto.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the news, what do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I didn't do any crypto trading.
I did not either.
But I did come across an article about the Treasury Department is now having ongoing talks about stable coins.
Are they wanting to stabilize them, or what are they talking about?
They want to absolutely start to regulate that space. The market cap right now for stable coins is $125 billion. That's a small slice of the $2 trillion cryptocurrency market.
Yeah.
But when you think about it in terms of these people are the stewards of the whole economy, and you've got this new space that money is going into,
mm-hmm.
they want to regulate it because they don't want the effects of that market to carry over and spill over into the rest of the market. You know, if crypto crashed tomorrow, it eliminates $2 trillion worth of value. You know, that's a big deal.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, but how are they going to stop that? They're just going to shut down the crypto exchanges like they can do with the stock market?
Freeze! Everybody time out!
Yeah. Guys, take a break. Think about what you're doing.
Right now, that's exactly... They want to figure out what they can do.
Yeah.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the government must move quickly to establish a regulatory framework for stablecoins. Treasury officials met this week with financial industry executives to discuss that regulation. It's happening. There's no getting around it. The steamroller, I should say, the boulder has started rolling down the hill. Cryptocurrency is going to be regulated, and probably to the point where any dark money moving around with crypto coins is going to have to find a new avenue, a new outlet.
Well, when they do, we need to invest in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Black market's a big market. Big market.
Didn't I see something about El Salvador, like, getting really upset about their switch over to Bitcoin?
Yes.
Is that anger coming because of Bitcoin's, tank that it did over the last week? Or is it something else?
So, obviously, not everybody's got the same reason for being scared, but they're having, like, senior citizens marching because they're scared that their pension stuff is going to get tied into Bitcoin and a Bitcoin drop is going to wipe them out.
Oh, I'd be upset about that, too, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe they should take a stable coin.
But also, some people are concerned because the government's kind of been acting pretty autocratic. One of the biggest detractors of making Bitcoin legal currency is a cryptocurrency guy that lives in El Salvador, and at one point he got arrested and arrested by local police, they said, for suspected financial fraud. And they were trying to search his phone and computer and everything before his lawyers got him out of there. So some people are pushing back because, like, hey, they feel like they can't even criticize it, then it's definitely a big deal.
Right.
Which I actually agree. It freaks me out more that they're going to try and quash the protests than that they're doing it. Like, to me, that's the scarier thing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then a lot of people feel like Bitcoin only serves large businessmen linked to government and using it to launder money. So they don't even feel like the people on the ground don't even feel like it's the law is for them.
Well, a lot of the citizens are also complaining that they just don't know enough about it. It looks like we don't know the currency. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know if it's going to bring us profit or loss. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
Is the quote here.
Well, what's crazy to me is El Salvador uses the U.S. dollar as their currency.
Right.
So
I think a lot of countries do that too.
A lot of, yeah. Yeah. Well, American Empire.
Well, I mean, it's probably a good way as a small country to make sure your money is stable.
Absolutely.
All right. I think we made it to the end, Dan.
All right, folks. We're so glad that you've made it to the end with us. Thank you for joining us. It's been such a great time today, and always better with you here listening along. Otherwise, it's just me and Kyle talking to the void. Hope you had a good time. As always, like, share, follow, you know, all the things. And we'll be coming at you soon. Until next time, happy trades.
Sorry, Sue.
We love you, Sue.
Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2BullsInAChinaShop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.